time. I'm not going to read all this, but as I progress in my message, we'll be reading the verses. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 6 to 17. This story is about Uriah the Hittite. Uriah was one of David's soldiers. And while Uriah was in the battlefield, David called him back so that he can stay with his wife Bathsheba. During this time, David was trying to hide his sin because he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And even though he tried everything to convince him to go back to his house and be with his wife, but Uriah was a loyal and faithful soldier. Tonight, I will not be speaking about the sin of David with Bathsheba, but tonight I will be speaking about faithfulness in the life of Uriah. What kind of faithfulness, what example of faithfulness can we learn from Uriah? Uriah was one of the bravest soldiers of King David. Although he was not an Israelite, but his loyalty and faithfulness to his king was exemplary. He was the husband of Bathsheba that David lasted after. But despite of what David did, Uriah remained submissive to David, although he was not rewarded fairly for his loyalty. Uriah's dedication to his work was unquestionable. I would like us to see this evening what faithfulness really is when it comes to serving our God. One of the Greeks' Olympic Games was a race in which the contestants carried torches, and the winner was the one that finished with the torch still lit. The Christian's desire should be that he will finish his race with his flame still burning strong. And that is faithfulness. Thank God, in this race that we are in, not only one will be the winner, but all of those Christians who will cross the finish line with their torch still lit are winners. When we will be welcomed by our Lord Jesus Christ up there in heaven, his welcome words will be, "Welcome, thou good and faithful servant." Faithfulness, as far as I understand, is being dependable or being trustworthy. When we say God is faithful, it means he is dependable and trustworthy. When we say we are faithful, it means we should be dependable and trustworthy. This can be applied to many areas of our Christian living. In church going, we need to be faithful. Also in serving the Lord, in giving, in prayer, and in reading of God's word. And what example of faithfulness can we learn from Uriah this evening? Number one, Uriah chose to serve than to sleep. David encouraged him to have a rest, to have a break. But Uriah refused. And listen to what Uriah said to David, verse 9. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. Uriah set aside self. He did not accept the break that David gave him. He could not imagine enjoying a break while other soldiers were out still fighting. A faithful Christian will choose what is more important over convenience. He will not allow things that will interfere with his faithfulness. Service to God is always a priority for Christians. Whenever there is a priority, he would always seize it. The Bible says, life here on earth is all about service. If you remember Luke chapter 19, verse 13, there's a parable there. Before the master left, he told his servants to occupy till he comes back. The word occupy means to busy oneself with. And we Christians are expected by the Lord, while he is getting ready to come here for us, that we should be busy in our service to him. We should be faithful in our task in this world. Like Uriah, he chose to be working than being convenient in his home. He chose what was more important over convenience. Christianity is being overcome today by the enemy because many Christians choose convenience over what is more important. They became complacent to what the world offers. They became easy with their lives, and they think that, you know, the things that they have here in this world, they should enjoy them. My friend, this is not what the Lord wants from us. We are saved to serve. And our life in this world must be in service to the Lord. And as we serve the Lord, we should be faithful. Christians, the Bible says, let us awake out of sleep. Let us redeem the time because the Lord is coming soon. How sad nowadays. I'd been to some churches in the country. And you know what? I praise God for this church because it's like a morning service. We have a good crowd. This is a midweek service. This is prayer meeting. And not very many Christians today attend prayer meeting anymore because they would like to stay home and watch football. They would like to stay home and watch TV. And that is convenience. Amen. But the Lord wants us to serve him faithfully. Not only that, Uriah wanted to be profitable in his service to his king. Verse 11, and Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. Again, David tried to convince him to go, for Uriah to go home. But Uriah had the same answer. I will not go home. Why? Because Uriah believed he was a servant and he has a responsibility also to be profitable in his service to his king. Uriah refused the comfort of life over service. He knew he was a soldier. He wanted to be a profitable soldier in his service to the king. He wanted to work out his being a soldier. Apostle Paul said, we are Christians and we should work out our own salvation. It may mean to be a productive Christian. Don't waste your life for this world. Use it for the Lord. This world, the Bible says, the song says, is not our home. We're just passing through. This world is like a field that we should work. And don't envy the people because they enjoy, you know, the things of this world. But I have a good news for you. Someday God will give us another world. A world where Christ will be our King. And that's the time that we will enjoy this world. Amen? But while that world for us has not yet come, the present world is not for us to enjoy it, but it's for us to be used by God, to be faithful in doing our task in this world. And he gave us tools to use to profit the ministry, to profit the work of the church. What are these tools that the Lord gave us so that we can use them and we can be productive, profitable in the church? Business. Amen? God gave people businesses so that he can use that to profit the ministry. Have you heard about Mr. Colgate? Are you using the toothpaste Colgate? Mr. Colgate one day prayed and promised the Lord that he will bless his, that if he will bless his business, he will give 90% of the income to the Lord and take the 10% of it. And God did, and Colgate fulfilled his promise. Now he's dead, but God still blesses Mr. Colgate. I don't think no country in this world has no Colgate. In the Philippines, it became like the, what do you call it? The general term. If they want to buy toothpaste, they'll say, could you buy a Colgate? What kind? Crest. So that's how the Lord blessed Mr. Colgate, because he realized that his business was his tool to profit the ministry. And if the Lord bless you with business, make God your partner in that business. And I'm sure you will never lack, and God will bless you. Our job, our health, our talents, time, and many to mention, these are our tools that we can use to profit the church, to profit the ministry, to profit the missions. And if these tools will be used in the ministry, they will yield results. And you know what? They will become materials for miracles. Do you remember the boy in the feeding of the 5,000? The disciples were desperate. Where can they get the food for the people? But there was a boy who willingly shared his lunch and gave it in the Lord's hands. And you know, that lunch, 2 fish and 5 loaves, became our Lord's materials for miracles. And 5,000 were fed, and 12 baskets full of leftovers for the disciples to eat along the way. Amen? In the landfill, I believe the reason why many miracles were developed there, because of many Christians, especially in this church, who are willing to commit to give their tools for the Lord, and that became God's materials for miracles. And if we will continue to do this, I believe many more miracles will be developed in the landfill. Many more kids that are abused, that are in difficult situation, will be reached with the word of God, and they will be saved. And not only in the Philippines, but in all parts of the world, because we were commissioned to go and preach the gospel into all the world. Amen. God still performs miracles if only we'll give him the materials. And I'm sure if we will be faithful in our giving for missions, that will become God's materials for miracles. Many souls will be reached with the word of God. Moses had a rod, but it parted the Red Sea. David had only a sling, but it became a giant slayer. Samson had only a jawbone, but it became a powerful weapon to kill hundreds of Philistines. What do you have now in your hands? That can be God's material for a miracle. You don't know. Amen? You don't know what can do with your life, with your business, with your life, with your job, with your talent. If you will just give that to the Lord, that can be his material for miracle. Then Uriah stayed faithful until his death. The saddest part in our text is in verses 16 and 17. And it came to pass when Joab observed the city that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew the valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab. And there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. David got what he wanted. He had Uriah killed in the battle. But Uriah did not let his situation affect his service for his king. I believe Uriah sensed the plan of God, the plan of David in his life. I believe Uriah sensed that David wanted him to be killed, but he did not let his situation affect his service for his king. He was focused on his task. He did not leave while the task is in progress. He did not let the circumstances affect his service to David. He became faithful until the end. Would you be faithful until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? I admire Pastor Lasley here. We know that he's old, but he's still doing his best to serve the Lord. And Pastor, I was surprised that, you know, you're 78 years old, but you are still willing to serve the Lord faithfully. Amen? The fact that we are still here in this world is a sign that God is not yet done with us. We can still do something for the Lord. And that will be something if only we'll give our lives to God, our everything to Him, and serve Him faithfully. And I will end with this story. Do you know the song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus"? No turning back, no turning back. Do you know the story behind it? About 150 years ago, there was a great revival in Wales, England. As a result of this, many missionaries came from England to Northeast India to spread the gospel. The region was known as Assam and comprised hundreds of tribes. The tribal communities were quite primitive and aggressive. The tribesmen were also called headhunters because of a social custom which required the male members of the community to collect as many heads as possible. A man's strength and ability to protect his wife was assessed by the number of heads he had collected. Therefore, a youth of marriageable age would try and collect as many heads as possible and hang them on the walls of his house. The more heads a man had, the more eligible he was considered. Into this hostile and aggressive community came a group of Welsh missionaries spreading the message of love, peace, and hope of Jesus Christ. Naturally, they were not welcome. One Welsh missionary finally succeeded in converting a man, his wife, and two children. This man's faith proved contagious, and many villagers began to accept Christianity. Angry, the village chief summoned all the villagers. He then called the family who had first converted to renounce their faith in public or face execution. Moved by the Holy Spirit, the man sang his reply, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back." Enraged at the refusal of the man, the chief ordered his archers to arrow down the two children. As both boys lay twitching on the floor, the chief asked, "Will you deny your faith? You have lost both your children. You will lose your wife too." But the man replied again, singing, "Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back." The chief was beside himself with fury and ordered his wife to be arrowed down. In a moment, she joined her two children in death. Now he asked for the last time, "I will give you one more opportunity to deny your faith and live." In the face of death, the man sang, "The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back." He was shot dead like the rest of his family. But with their deaths, a miracle took place. The chief who had ordered the killings was moved by the faith of this man. He wondered, why should this man, his wife, and two children die for a man who lived in a faraway land on another continent some 2,000 years ago? There must be some supernatural power behind the family, and I too want that supernatural power. In a spontaneous confession of faith, he declared, "I too belong to Jesus Christ." When the crowd heard this from the mouth of their chief, the whole village accepted Christ as their Lord and faith and personal Savior. Because of the faithfulness of one man, the whole village got saved. Just be faithful. If you still have loved ones that are not yet saved, maybe they are looking at you. They are watching you every day. But if they saw in you that you are a faithful servant of Christ, that might be an occasion where God can use it and a miracle can develop in the lives of your unsaved loved ones. Maybe you are praying for your friends. You are praying for your neighbors. You are praying for people that you know. Miracle can still develop. Just be faithful. Be faithful. And be faithful. And our faithfulness should be until the end. Brother, thank you very much.
All God's people said, you're going to lead in this song, or you're going to sing it. I think you're going to sing it, aren't you? Where are you? Thought there was a secret rapture for a minute. I worry when someone's behind me. All right. That was good, wasn't it? And that little sweetheart who sang got a hold of my heart. Praise the Lord for her. I have decided to follow Jesus. Let's all turn. What page is it?
407.
Let's all stand and turn to that. You know, tonight, when I thought about people eating out of the garbage, it's hard for us to understand here in the United States, isn't it? Difficult. My prayer tonight is if you're holding back on something, Jesus does not have all. Make that decision tonight to follow him. You need to find an altar. It's here for you. Altar takes you back to Calvary. Amen? Takes you back there. You need to find that place tonight. Do so. If you're here, you know, you could be here without Christ. Lost. God wants to perform a miracle. You believe in miracles tonight? We're seeing a miracle take place in our lives. We've got people now who are going to go over to Micronesia and build that wall. That's a miracle for us. And we're excited about being able to, our kids on the mission field, to not live in dirt, coming in all the time and get that wall built, get the house finished up. So God's performing miracles. You got something in your life that's preventing that miracle to take place. Why don't you come be honest with God? I'll sing a couple stanzas of that, if you will.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Amen. Now, we're not going to break up tonight. We normally do. We're not going to do that tonight. But I tell you what, the reason I want you to concentrate on our missionary tonight, and I want you and your family to go out to the foyer, and I want you all to go out there and greet him and meet him and tell him you're praying for him. Can I make a closing announcement on Bob's behalf? You may. Okay. It's not too long.
It's short. You want to pray when you're done?
He'll let you pray.
Okay. Brother Bob wanted me to let all parents know to pick up your children in the chapel, and if you're going to make your way over to the gym.
That is an important announcement. That
yes, yes. If you dropped them off, you must pick them up. And if you want to go over to the gymnasium and shop around a little bit, parents are also reminded, make sure your kids stay with you while you're doing that. And that was the announcement. So let's pray. Thank you for being here this evening. Father, thank you for your love for us. Lord, thank you for this message, and thank you for the Tulabot family and what you're doing through their ministry, and the fact that we get to be part of it as a church. Lord, I pray for your continued blessings on them. I pray that you'd meet their needs. Lord, I pray you take what they give, and what we give, and so many others give, and make it fruitful. Lord, I pray that we would hear more in the days to come of what you've done there. But Lord, we'll never hear it all, but one day we'll stand in heaven next to someone as we sing with people from every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue, and we'll sing next to somebody whose life we touched and yet never met. Father, what a blessing that is. I pray you'd bless this family. I pray you'd bless this church. I pray in the next 2 days as we remember the lives and the faith of two faithful people in our church that you'd comfort families. Lord, I pray that as a church we'd come around these families at this time. I pray you'd bless them. Bless us as we go. Thank you so much for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.